Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We had investigated Islam, the Quran, to learn about the miracles of Muhammad, and we found none. That is exactly what we covered in earlier broadcast. And the reason was, Muhammad stated it is Allah is the one who has the miracles with him. Or it is Allah who decided not to send any miracles because, after all, early prophets came with the miracles, but nobody believed in them anyway. We discovered, obviously, that is simply pure lie. Why? Because even Allah in the Quran stated that Moses performed some miracles. And not only his people believed in him, but even the Egyptian sorcerers, the magicians, believed in him. And also, we discovered that Jesus in the Quran also performed great miracles, which fits perfectly with the attributes of Allah, which makes Jesus God. As Muslims claim that Allah is the one who heals, Allah is the one who raises the dead, Allah is the one who creates, Allah is the one who knows the unknown. These are not simple words, my dear friends. It is a very deep, deep theology. But here is a catch. Muslims claim that yes, Allah in the Quran allowed Jesus to perform these miracles. It was by Allah's permission that Isa, son of Mary, was able to perform such miracles. As we have seen in our last broadcast, I'm sorry, this itself is a comedy claim. Why? Because when you read the Quran, you read about Jesus will perform some miracles, and he did perform some miracles without giving us even one example of any of these miracles. How did Isa do any of these miracles? You will never find it in the Quran. But where do we find the truth behind these claims of Muhammad in the Quran that Isa performed miracles? It is in the Bible. It is in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And as we have shared with you in our last program, from the reading of the Bible, we discovered that Jesus performed more than 37 miracles because the beloved John said he did more than that which is written in the book. And the record we have in the book is 37 miracles, which covered a variety of miracles. We shared with you in our last broadcast 7 of them, and today let's move on with the rest of these miracles. The 8th miracle, which our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ performed, it is what we read in the book of Luke, chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. And here is the summary. There was a centurion who had a servant whom he really liked. That centurion was a man with a good relationship with the Jewish people. He actually built for them a synagogue, and they believe that he is worthy to receive that miracle, that Jesus will heal his servant. So he sent to Jesus, the elder of the Jews, asking him to heal his servant. Jesus went with those Jewish elders to his house. As he was near the house, the centurion sent some friends to Jesus, asked him not to walk all the way to his house. He simply asked him to say the word, and he knows that his young man will be healed. And that shows us how strong the faith of that centurion. He was not a Jew, he was a Gentile, but he had greater faith, Jesus said, than all those who are in the house of Israel. And when those who were sent by the centurion returned back to the house, the Bible said they found the servant who was sick completely healed. What a great miracle. But notice, once again, here we do not read in the scripture that Jesus lifted up his eyes and he prayed to God in heaven, please, please give me permission to heal that young man. but he simply said the word, and the sick young man was healed. Let's move on to miracle number 9, which is the healing of the paralytic man who was actually dropped before Jesus from the roof of the house. We read about that miracle in the book of Luke chapter 5, beginning from verse 17 to verse 26. Now, this miracle will have a problem for the Jews, those are the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and the Muslims. They all have the same problem with Jesus. It is not about the problem of Jesus healing that paralyzed man, but it's about Jesus forgiving the sin of that paralyzed man. You see, here is the summary of that miracle. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law came from every village of the Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And they were in a house where the Lord Jesus was teaching. Now, some men came with a paralyzed man and they tried hard to bring him before Jesus in this house. But it was a little bit difficult because there was a big crowd in that house. So they decided to go up to the roof, and they literally opened the roof and they lowered down that paralyzed man on his bed in front of Jesus. Now we read in verse 20 the following. When he, that is our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, saw their face, he said to him, that is the paralyzed man, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." Wow. Jesus forgave sins? I love it when the Muslims challenge me by saying, "Show me one verse in the Bible which teaches that Jesus is God or Jesus is the Son of God." And as we share with him all the verses which clearly teaches that he is the Son of God, he is God Almighty who came in the flesh, quickly we hear Muslim response, "Well, the Bible has been corrupted. The Bible has been changed." Even though we know for sure from the Quran that the Bible cannot be changed or corrupted. But what happened when Jesus forgave that man his sins? Listen carefully what we read in verse 21. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" Yes, indeed. That's what Muslims would say as well. Only God can forgive sins. Now let us read together how Jesus responded to their thoughts. In verse 22, we read, "But when Jesus perceived their thought," notice Jesus can perceive their thoughts. That's not an easy thing. Not any man can do such a thing. But we continue. "He answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your hearts?'" Notice once again, it is in their hearts. They did not speak out loud. They did not complain to him in his face saying, "You are a blasphemer." They just did this in their thoughts. They just said that in their hearts. Continue in verse 23. Jesus said, "Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'?" In verse 24, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He, that is Jesus, said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house." What a great miracle. It's not just about Jesus healing the paralyzed man. It is about Jesus forgiving the sins of the paralyzed man. You cannot accept Jesus as a good teacher and a good man and a good prophet and a great miracle performer, and at the same time you believe that he is a blasphemer. He is a 100% God who can forgive sin and heal the sick, or B, he is a blasphemer who could not heal the sick. So obviously in this miracle we have two problems. The first one, that Jesus is God who forgives sins, and once again he did not pray asking God the Father to help him or give him permission or allow him to perform such a great miracle.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah.
Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straightway of Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Well, let's move on to miracle number 10. In the book of Luke, chapter 6, beginning from verse 6, we have another controversy between the Pharisees and the writers of the law and Jesus. And this time is not about his forgiving somebody's sin, but because Jesus broke the Sabbath. Who made that law? The Pharisees. It's not Moses. It was not God. It is simply their own laws, because Jesus did not commit even one sin. Let's read together that great miracle. For we read in verse 6, now it happened on another Sabbath also that he, that is our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely, whether he, that is our Lord Jesus, would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. Imagine that was me. They're sitting there waiting for Jesus to make a mistake. And what is a mistake? If he would heal that man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. In verse 8 we read, but he, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, knew their thoughts. Once again, Jesus is not just a merely prophet or teacher or good man, because he can do what only God can do. He can read the thoughts of men. Remember what we read in Quran chapter 3 verse 49? That he can tell the people what is hidden? That he knows the unknown? That is exactly what we're talking about here in the teaching of the gospel. So here we see that Jesus knows their thoughts and said to the man who had a withered hand, arise and stand here. And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, these are the wonderful Pharisees and the writers of the law, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? In verse 10 we read, and when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. What a great miracle. Of course, the Pharisees did not like it, simply because they made up the law not to do any work, any type of work, even doing good. By the way, the same Jewish belief that if a donkey falls in a hole on the Sabbath, they will remove him from that hole. But they have no compassion on that man who was with a withered hand for all the years of his life. That shows you the hypocrisy in such Jewish leaders. Once again, my dear friends, when Jesus performed that miracle, he did not pray to God that may God help him or God give him permission to do such a miracle. Well, let's move on to miracle number 11, and that is Jesus raising the widow's son from the dead. And by the way, in that miracle, nobody asked Jesus to do it, and Jesus did not ask God the Father to help him to do it. He just did it because he was filled with compassion towards that woman who lost her only son. And you can find that great miracle in the book of Luke chapter 7, beginning from verse 11 to verse 17. Jesus went to a city is called Nain, and he had a big crowd of his disciples and lots of other people. When he drew near to the city, well, they were carrying a dead man, an only son to his mother, and she was a widow. And she also had a big crowd of people, those who went with her to help her to bury her son and to pay their respects. In verse 13 we read, "And when the Lord, that is our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Don't weep.'" How can you say to a widow who lost her son, and that is everything she have, "Don't weep"? What she should do? Should she be happy? Should she rejoice? Of course she have to weep. She must weep. But notice what happened in the following verse. For in verse 14 we read, "Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him," that is the dead son, "stood still. And he," that is our Lord, "said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he," that is our Lord Jesus Christ, "presented him," that is the son whom Jesus raised from the dead, "to his mother." What a great miracle. And once again, my dear friends, I do not read here that Jesus cried out to God the Father, "Oh God, please give me permission, help me out. I need to raise that dead man by your permission, that woman, she have her son back." No, Jesus did that miracle with his own power, with his own authority, without even anybody asking him to perform such a great miracle. Let's move on, my dear friends, to miracle number 12. To learn about the fear of the fishermen. These are the disciples of Jesus. As I always say, maybe some of them actually were born on a boat, because that is what the family heritage is all about. Fishing in the water. You see, in the book of Luke chapter 8, beginning from verse 22, we read about Jesus entering the ship with his disciples. And he said, "Let us cross to the other side of the lake." Jesus went in the back of the ship, and he actually took a good nap. While he's sleeping, the Bible said, a wind storm came down on the lake. And they, these are his disciples, were filling with water and were in jeopardy. The fishermen have a problem. The fishermen are living now in fear. They're about to drown. So what happened in verse 24? They went and woke up Jesus, and they said to him the following, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he, that is the Lord Jesus, arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Wow. The master had the power over the wind and the storm and the water of the sea? Yes, indeed. Why? Because he is the one who created them from nothing. He can do whatever he wishes to them. Now notice how the disciples react to that. First of all, in verse 25, our Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? Is Jesus just a Messiah? Is he just a teacher? Is he just a good man? Is he just a prophet?" No, 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 my dear Muslim friends. No, 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 my dear skeptics. He is more than all that. For, as we continue to read in that verse, "For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him." He is the Son of God. He is God Almighty, who have control over everything. And once again, my dear friends, here we see another miracle our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ performed without any prayer to God the Father, asking his help, asking his permission, that he may be able to perform such a great miracle. Why didn't Muhammad perform any miracles? People begged him. Even his own Muslim believers said to him, "Please perform a miracle that they may see and believe in you." No. That was not something he can do simply because he was not a true prophet or a true messenger, as Muslims claim. And here we also must ask the question again. Why did Jesus perform all these miracles? It's just to show off. It is like magic. Because he want to look good. No, my friends. That's not the case. As we have read, let me remind you again. In the book of John, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, we read, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." Not like Muhammad, who performed that one great miracle to be taken all the way from Mecca to Jerusalem to the seven heavens, back and forth between Moses and Allah, coming back to his home where no one saw it. That was a comedy miracle. Because what was the purpose of a miracle if people could not see it? Jesus did these miracles in front of his disciples and also in the presence of multitudes of people. And in verse 31, the beloved John wrote to us, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." So these miracles were performed for a purpose. And the purpose is, number one, to strengthen the beliefs of his disciples. And it was written in the scripture for our own belief, to strengthen our belief in Jesus Christ for who he is. He is God Almighty who came in the flesh, and he died and he was buried and he rose again on the third day, that through that great work we can receive forgiveness for our sins. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.